Good morning. Good day to you. Today I'm going to be talking about what it means to trust God in good and hard times. And during the summer, what we're doing is looking at different aspects of our Christian walk and maybe how we can just strengthen ourselves a little bit more. And I just I'm bringing to you today something that I think is maybe quite a challenge for all of us, this concept of trusting God in good and hard times. And for me, it's a little bit like where the rubber hits the road, actually, as a Christian. It feels like the ultimate challenge for us as Christians, doesn't it? And I think of a few situations recently where people have lost loved ones and they've believed for healing. And they have cried out to God and they've had faith. I think of Bill Johnson, a well-known speaker and author and church leader, who had believed for healing for his wife and who has died recently at the age of 67 of cancer. And I think of people who thought they had a job in the bag and it turns out not to have been real. And maybe a disappointment over a university place or a child, or and these things are part of life. People who are living with disappointment and dashed hopes. And I know, just like you will know, what it feels like to receive news that changes the course of our life forever. And I know too the experience of life feeling so good that I'm almost holding my breath. And let's assume that most of us listening to this would call ourselves committed Christians who have put our trust in God. And the one thing we will all have in common will be the fact that in life there are unexpected moments, both good and bad, moments that catch us off guard. And we will have all experienced disappointments and pain at different points in our lives. And we will certainly know what it is like for life to suddenly take a different turn and not go the way that we'd planned it. And we've all experienced the effects of the pandemic, and we are experiencing ongoing world uncertainty, climate change, disaster, national disaster. And our dreams may have been dashed in these moments, and we just may find ourselves, even in this moment, wondering what on earth God is up to. Is he really trustworthy? And sometimes it really is hard to trust God, isn't it? In these kinds of moments that maybe I've alluded to. Conversely, when life is going well and things are as we had hoped and prayed for, we can run the risk of almost not believing or trusting that the moment will last or that we'll be safe. And we might end up so protecting our hearts so much against disappointment or let down that maybe we're not fully present in that moment. And Brené Brown, in her book Daring Greatly, says this: to love someone fiercely, to believe in something with our whole heart, to celebrate a fleeting moment in time, to fully engage in a life that doesn't come with guarantees. These are the risks that involve vulnerability and pain. How true is that? So I want to look at what it means to trust God in the midst of life, the ups and the downs and the unexpected. And I want to validate the fact that this can feel or be really hard as human beings doing real life. We were told, weren't we, that in this life we would have trouble. Jesus said that. And we are vulnerable to unpredictable life events, and we're vulnerable to each other as people. The second half of the Brené Brown quote that I just read finishes like this: but I am learning that recognizing and leaning into the discomfort of vulnerability teaches me how to live with joy and gratitude and grace. So I want to challenge our mindset and hopefully uncover some truths from God's word that will help us do just that. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, we read that well-known command to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So how do we do this? Well, I want to share from some of my reading and some of my own insights into this and suggest to you five different ways that briefly that might encourage you. And each of these ways pertains to the power that we have, not only to make choices in the way that we think, but also to remember the power that is greater than us, the power of God, much greater than any of our thinking. It's the power of God himself in the midst of our circumstances, which I can say honestly makes all the difference, the power of his presence. So let's start with that. The power and the greatness of God, revealed in nature and creation. It's all around us. The power of God is all around us. If God created the earth and the heavens and the sea and every living creature, which as Christians we believe he did, he's a pretty powerful God, isn't he? He is in ultimate control of this earth, and therefore our experience of our earthly experience and our experience as human beings living on the earth is part of his, we are part of his creation and we are under his ultimate control. And I believe that there is power just in that fact. The fact that God is powerful, it's what frames everything. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." So let's start by acknowledging the power of God and the all-powerful God that we have and who we worship. The second thing I want us to think about is the power of remembering. So many of us may look back and remember ways that God has been faithful to us, even in the midst of huge trauma and sadness or pain. And our testimony would be that God was close and he brought us through times of deep trouble. And I remember well when my mother died a long time ago now, 12, 13 years. She died far too early. And I was in that place of enjoying an adult relationship with her. And our children were enjoying their grandy and they, you know, they could enjoy and respect her. And it felt like robbery when she got cancer and she was taken out for Mark, my husband. It was a very sad moment. He loved his mother-in-law. And of course, for my father and my siblings. And as her daughter and the eldest of five, I remember feeling overwhelmed by sadness and grief and wanting to do things well for her. I wanted to do things well at the end. For me, that was important. And there were so many ways that by trusting God and walking closely with him, God helped me to honour my mother's legacy along with my siblings and my father, and not to be so overwhelmed that I became paralysed. And I remember how God walked with me. And I remember other moments where I can honestly say that I would not have got through the difficult moment without trusting God that he would help me. And there is that precious Psalm 91, which talks about dwelling in the shelter of the Most High and resting in the shadow of the Almighty. For I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge and my strength, and he is the God in whom I trust. So there's power in looking back and remembering when we've known times of God helping us and when we looked to God for help. And you may have times that you can look back on and you can remember See if you can remember something, even in this moment, where God was with you and where he helped you. Perhaps you might say, I didn't do too well at that, and you regret that you didn't trust God more. Or perhaps you knew what it was to be able to totally trust God. And so I would say to you really need to remember that. And there is power in remembering because it actually becomes part of our makeup. It becomes part of of who we are, and we're able to integrate it into our up-to-date way of being. It's powerful. And then thirdly, there's the power of praise. And the thing about praise is that it changes our perspective and strengthens our faith, and it shapes our response to moments in life. We only have to come into the church building and worship, and our whole perspective can change, and it's powerful. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord always, and his praise will be continually in my mouth. I love that. And in Psalm 59, I will sing of your power in the morning, and I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, and in everything, give God thanks and praise. There's something so powerful about praise. And I've personally known times where particular songs, particular worship songs, have become like anthems to me. They've held so much truth and so much encouragement that they have quite literally kept me going. And they've kept me looking up and centered on God and the higher strength that he provides, much higher than my own. My focus on my own issue is shifted off the problem and off myself and onto God. There's power in that. Either from worrying that something good might not last, we can do that, can't we? We can have a kind of negative anticipation, which I alluded to earlier, or that whatever is proving really hard is just too much for us. Praise converts our fears into faith, and it rewrites our words or our worries into hope. And if you're not a person who finds it easy to praise, then I would commend it to you. I would encourage you to practice praise. And for some of us, it's a bit of a strange concept, isn't it? This idea of singing or lifting our voices or even our hands to God. But do you know, I think we can learn to do it. I think it's something we can grow into. Songs become familiar the more we listen to them, don't we? And we know what that's like. You know, we listen to the radio, we listen to our iPods or whatever, our music selection, and they become ingrained in us. And that's what happens with worship. And the more we listen and the more we join in, one day we realize that we're actually worshiping God with our song. Also, to say that worship and praise may also be in the context of creation and just being outside and giving God thanks for, you know, the magnificence of the world that we live in and thankfulness for our environment. There's so many different ways of praising God, but praise is powerful in those good, both the good and the hard times. And then there's the power, number four, of God's word. So God's word is a weapon, isn't it? We're told that it's like a weapon. And it's demonstrated beautifully, isn't it, by Jesus himself when he is living in the wilderness before his ministry starts. And he's tempted, isn't he, by the devil. And what does he do? He speaks out words of scripture, which he's learnt, which he knows, which are ingrained within him. And he uses scripture as a weapon against the enemy. And he even says to the tempter, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We have a whole Bible, don't we? Most of us have. We all have a Bible. We have a Bible. Bibles are cheap in our culture. And we have a whole Bible that we can speak words of truth from. We don't even have to learn our verses of scripture off by heart. We just need to know the Bible well enough to know where to go, where to look. But I've learned that I can absorb scriptural truth in all sorts of different ways. And yes, I do sit with my Bible and I do journal and I have lots of verses underlined. But I also listen to talks and, worship songs, and I sing words of truth and I write them down. And I also speak them out. I speak them out over people as words of encouragement. And in the same way, I'm getting truth into myself. Truths like, I will never leave you or forsake you in the good and the hard times. When you walk through the valley, I will be with you. I will say of you, God, you are my refuge and my strength. He will take great delight in you. He will rejoice over you with singing. Or he has loved you with an everlasting life. Love. These are all truths that I need to get into my psyche, into my heart, into my mind. And somehow we need to find ways of doing that, of getting scriptures into us. And ultimately, they can replace our own human way of thinking and even feeling about a situation or ourselves. Whatever it takes for you, get scripture into you. Which leads me into number five as I finish, the power of practice. So the more we do these things, the easier and the more instinctive it all becomes. Sometimes we might wonder, mightn't we, how we might possibly cope with a particular situation. I mean, what would you do if you won the pools? We often play the game in our house of what would we do? How would we manage, having a lot of money? And following on from Mark's talk last week about generosity, everyone sort of suddenly becomes incredibly generous with this money in their head. And another scenario, you're given a choice of early retirement and much earlier than you might ever have imagined. No more working days and plenty of pension to do life. Perhaps you've been there. What do you do about that? Or you're told by the doctor that you're going to be blessed with triplets and you've been longing for a baby, but now there are three of them. So those are perhaps good news scenarios. With significance. These are big events. Or bad, let's think of some bad scenarios, bad news scenarios. Your appointment with the doctor results in the news that you do have cancer. Your marriage is on the rocks and humanly it looks like it won't survive. Your parents die within a few months of each other. Your adult children don't seem to want to see you anymore. And these are all real life scenarios that either we've experienced for ourselves or someone we know has. How did we cope? How are we coping? How did they cope? How are they coping? Well, if you're anything like me, you will have moments of fear, feeling fearful about the future, of what it could look like, of what might happen, and how you would cope with it. And when we practice in everyday life, we have the reserve, don't we? We've built up the reserve that we might need for any of those given scenarios, the bigger life event, the good and the hard. We need it in that moment. It's when it really counts. So let's just look back at those scenarios. If I've practiced generosity in my life, I'm more likely to cope with having a lot of money, aren't I? If I get given a difficult but pleasant choice to make, perhaps I have practice of letting God lead me in my thinking and my decision making. I have the surprise of triplets. I know that God will provide for me. I know that He goes before me. I know that He is, I know that He provides for my needs because He is the provider. I remember that if I take a day at a time, then God will give me what I need for that day and that I don't need to worry about the next day. Okay, what about the bad news from the doctor or the marriage issue or the rejection by your children? He will be with you in the valley and He will be your guide. Psalm 23 is so full of truth and promise and hope. And I'm just going to read this to us, and then maybe it's something you might want to go back to and just spend some time reflecting on, because it's full of promise and it's full of hope. So I'm just going to read this to us. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So even if it is hard for you today, keep practicing, because eventually something called motor memory will kick in, just like driving a car, where things become instinctive. They become natural. They become part of what we do and who we are. Trusting God in the good and the hard times honestly has no special formula. But I really hope that I've been able to jog your memory a little today as to some of the keys that will make a difference to your life journey. So I'm just going to pray as we finish. So Lord, I want to thank You that You know all about our lives. You know all about what has been. You know about the good and the hard times. You know how we walked through those times, Lord. I want to thank You that You were with us in those times. Thank You that You're with us now. Thank You that whatever it is we are experiencing, you go with us. And we invite You into our life scenario at this point in our life. Thank You, Lord, that there is power in just acknowledging Your power. Thank You, Lord, that there's power in remembering the times that You walked with us. Thank You, Lord, that there's power in worship and praise. We worship and praise You. Thank You, Lord, that there is power in Your word, that Your word is like a weapon. And Lord, we choose to practice what we know we need to practice in order to strengthen ourselves in You today. So I pray that You would go before us into this week. Thank You that You are our strength and our guide. And we love You, Lord. Amen.